This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, just how long will the impeachment stalemate last? We'll talk about it today on Jay Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. I trust you all had a very Merry Christmas as we prepare for the new year. We are back live in the studio here at the American Center for Law and Justice. These are very important 2 days for us at the ACLJ because when it comes to fundraising and when it comes to our finances, of course, you know the ACLJ does all of our work for our clients at absolutely no cost, whether that's the work representing clients in court, whether that's work on government affairs in Washington, D.C., whether that's our international work around the world. We do it all at no cost. So these are very important final 2 days. In fact, I'm going to give you a number. I don't want to scare you with the number because it's a number we've met before. But in these final 2 days, we typically are able to raise about $1 million for the American Center for Law and Justice. Now, not all of that comes through your donations that you make through ACLJ.org on radio. There are people that have their end-of-the-year gifts and things like that. But remember, we have the matching challenge still. So you're doubling the impact of every donation you make these final 2 days of the year. And again, with this kind of goal, and we have had an unbelievable year. I know it's a big goal to reach, and it may sound large, but remember, we're a big organization with millions of people just listening to this broadcast right now. So with offices around the world, with attorneys around the world, with government affairs staff, with offices around the United States. And again, we bring you this radio broadcast. We bring a television quality broadcast to you each day through Facebook and Periscope. All of that at no cost to you. So we ask that our donors, those who truly believe in the mission, do support the work of the ACLJ, and this is a great time to support the work, and it's a critical time for us. The most important 2 days of the year for the American Center for Law and Justice right now are these 2 days. You can donate online at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And today on the broadcast, we're absolutely live. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And one of the issues we're going to be talking about, some of our biggest victories, both legislatively but also legally, and then as well, what's going on with the impeachment? How long, Than, can Nancy Pelosi stonewall moving these articles of impeachment over to the Senate for trial? And we're starting to get reports like out of the Hill. The headline is, Democrats are worried that impeachment acquittal will embolden Trump. Well, surprise, surprise. They could have done the math a long time ago. It's like now they're doing the math and realizing that, hey, if they have a trial in the Senate, he's likely going to be acquitted, and those articles of impeachment will be dismissed, and that will embolden Trump. I mean, we all knew this. They all knew this. So now they're worried about having a trial at all. So is this going to ever lead to a trial, Than? I mean, I think that's the big question people have.
Yeah, I think it's a good question, Jordan. And look, politically, I think Speaker Pelosi has created a lose-lose situation for herself. The one scenario that you described where the Senate does take up a trial and the president is acquitted, I think spells a political disaster for the Democrat Party. But Jordan, I think the alternative spells disaster for them as well, because remember, if Speaker Pelosi retains the articles and the Senate decides not to move forward, which by the way is a separate question, I do think they could move forward, but if they decide not to and it remains in the House of Representatives, Jordan, who is going to feel that electoral weight come next November? I would say it's going to be those 31 House Democrats that are in districts that Donald Trump won, some of them very convincingly, Jordan. So look, this is probably a calculation she should have made before she let this train out of the station. But it's where we are. Is she going to send it over? Is she going to keep it? Either way, Jordan, politically, I think it's a huge loser for her.
Yeah, I mean, Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat in the Senate from Illinois, says, we all know the president. If there are not 67 votes to convict in the Senate, which there aren't, he'll claim that it was a witch hunt and that he was exonerated, which is exactly right. It was based off these junky articles of impeachment, which is why she doesn't even want to have them tried in the Senate. And he will be exonerated. Now we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, the most important 2 days of the ACLJ financially. Donate today at aclj.org. Your donation is doubled.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I trust everyone had a Merry Christmas. Unfortunate to see some of these violent attacks, both on churches and those who are celebrating Hanukkah. And there's no place for that in the United States of America. There's no place for that in the world. There should be, at a minimum, religious tolerance. But we know, unfortunately, there's a growing lack of that, both, unfortunately, in our own country, and there has been around the world, which goes to some of our biggest victories of the year. One of those was for a Pakistani family who was saved from involuntary servitude. You may sometimes forget that we have an office, full office in Pakistan, and the Center for Law and Justice Pakistan had to step in this major victory. And again, we'll get to your phone calls on the impeachment issue as well, but I want to walk through some of these victories that may have been overlooked throughout the year because politics, the Mueller report, all of that just played such a central role in the year. And then Ukraine and impeachment. And now, of course, we're in an election year. To understand the core of the ACLJ's work and our international work. So the ACLJ's international affiliate through the ECLJ and our Center for Law and Justice Pakistan was able to obtain the freedom of a Pakistani Christian family after 2 years of forced labor. The husband, his wife, their four young children were forced to perform farm labor on behalf of a Muslim man. And again, this was all based off when our clients attempted to quit, the Muslim man refused to let them go, saying that their initial loan was not paid despite the underpayment and their forced labor for the past year. So we began a legal advocacy work and filed a habeas corpus petition in the Lahore High Court in Pakistan. And the following day, our attorneys in the courts presented the Masih family before the court, and the court official presented his report and listing the conditions, the horrible conditions the Christian family had been detained. So again, ultimately, this family is free. They are human beings, as the judge said, and I'm going to set them free. This is a great victory not only for our office in Pakistan, but for all those who support the work of the ACLJ. Again, here you see there's a mixture of persecution and forced labor. So it just tells you the complexities of the work that we do internationally. That's just one example when you see that kind of persecution of Christians, but also this forced labor aspect come into play as well. Another one of these major victories of the year was, I think one of the most shocking was when the ACLJ was contacted by a nurse who was forced to, an operating room nurse, who was coerced into assisting in abortion in 2017 even though her name was on a list of nurses at the Vermont Medical Center in Burlington, who, for religious or moral reasons, were consciously opposed to such participation. And so it's interesting because in more than two decades of work that ACLJ has done to defend the rights of conscience of pro-life healthcare workers, this is by far the most outrageous case we've ever seen. Our clients' most fundamental beliefs about the sanctity of life, they were simply brushed aside. Her superiors actually deliberately misled her into thinking she was assisting in a procedure following a miscarriage. Then once trapped inside the OR, she discovered that it was, in fact, an elective abortion and that this had been known all along by her superiors, who then callously refused to relieve her. At least four other nurses at that University Medical Center in Vermont have confirmed they, too, have been subjected to similar violations for their conscience rights. So we filed them to the Office of Civil Rights as part of our complaint. Again, this is part of the Conscience Clause of the Church Amendment. Now, here's the issue. The HHS, Health and Human Services Office of Civil Rights, has for a long time had the Conscience Clause on the books then, but hasn't given it much teeth. This time they did, and that was a major victory for life.
Yeah, let me make just a comment on both of those cases you mentioned, Jordan, because I think the first case, the international one, highlights our ability to tailor the strategy to a variety of these different cases overseas. I think our listeners, Jordan, probably know the names of a lot of the cases where we've had to go public, names like Andrew Brunson, Asiya Bibi, Saeed Abedini, Youssef Nardakhani. But Jordan, how many of these cases are ones that we can handle locally with our offices on the ground that maybe our listeners have never heard about? And our ability to use a wide variety of strategies is so important in those cases. But you're right. When you're talking about the case of forced abortions, the thing that speaks to me the most, Jordan, is in so many areas related to life, the law is correct on this, and we're going to talk about a number of them, but the federal church amendment that protects the conscience rights of healthcare workers in organizations like hospitals that receive federal funding, Jordan, it's been on the books for a long time, but the Department of Health and Human Services has not been willing to enforce it. It's something we've worked on for a very long time, and in this particular case, Jordan, 100,000 of our members signed a petition asking HHS to do a better job. This case, Jordan, the one that you're highlighting, is the first example, in my view, of the department being willing to enforce that church amendment statute that's been on the books for a long time. What is that a credit to? It's a credit to our members engaging, but Jordan, here's the other thing it's a credit to. It's a credit to the agency, one of the agencies that has been the most difficult for us to work with over the decades, the Department of Health and Human Services, under the direction of President Trump, being willing to take these bold stands and applying the law in a way that protects life. Huge win, Jordan.
A huge win that, again, underscores the complexities of you can have a good law on the books, as Dan said, a good rule, and most people may abide by the rule. But when people don't abide by it, if you have no teeth in the law, no enforcement mechanism in the law, guess what? When it's violated, it's just violated. And there's not a lot of recourse for those whose rights were violated. Well, now the Trump HHS, through our work at the ACLJ representing this nurse, has put in place teeth. That's what we call it, teeth in the law, so that there are consequences for these health centers. A huge pro-life victory there. And you see, moving the federal bureaucracy in the right direction by utilizing current laws that exist on the books to protect those who consciously object to performing abortions, even in the medical profession. Another shocking one, and then we're going to get to some of the impeachment questions too, because there is this huge question out there. How long could there be an impeachment stalemate? And we're going to get to those calls in the next segment, because I think that it is, if you're following politics closely, you're kind of re-engaging now that Christmas is over, and yes, there's New Year's, but then we get right back into it, and Congress returns the following week, and there's no trial date set. I mean, people have this question, okay, what happens next? President, has he been impeached? And why is there no trial set? We will get to that, and we will get to your phone calls on that, 1-800-684-3110. Another one that was just shocking on religious liberty, and today's really do focus on life and religious liberty, these victories, was that earlier this year, the ACLJ recently defended the constitutional rights of a child that had been infringed upon by the school administration. The child was in fourth grade, liked reading their Bible during recess. The principal of the school confiscates the fourth grader's Bible and told him that he was no longer allowed to read from it. The child was also prohibited from meeting with other Christians during recess to discuss their religious beliefs. The ACLJ immediately intervened, contacted the school to address this blatant violation of the First Amendment. The ACLJ informed the principal that it is well-settled law that this kind of speech on public campuses is protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution. Our letter to the principal cited several of our court decisions in the past. And following receipt of the ACLJ's letter, the school retracted its unconstitutional instruction and assured us the child would be allowed to read from his Bible during non-instructional time and freely discuss his faith with classmates during non-instructional time. We have to continue to fight these battles. I mean, Harry, that one of the interesting things about this case is that it sounds like something out of the 1980s or 90s, but it's happening. It happened in 2019, where a fourth grader was pulled into the principal's office and had their Bible taken away.
Absolutely. And so many of these cases happen fairly routinely in the United States in violation of students' constitutional rights. Clearly, this is such a case, and it's a very, very important case. So many school districts take the view that merely possessing a Bible in school somehow infringes on the rights of others. And these school districts routinely fail to adhere to the Constitution. Basically, the Constitution guarantees us the right of free exercise, and that includes school children. And often, if the parents do not object, the school district continues to pursue and enforce an unconstitutional policy. I think we were very, very successful in this particular case, and I would encourage listeners who are aware of cases in their area to contact the ACLJ, because we really need to pursue vigorously these cases in the future.
Yeah, especially as the school year starts back up again, aclj.org/help. And you can get legal assistance right there with an ACLJ attorney. Let me encourage you. We've got more of those victories to go through. We're going to take your impeachment question calls as well. This trial, how long can Nancy Pelosi just kind of hold this and stall this out? Share this broadcast with your friends and family. If you're watching through Facebook and Periscope, click that share button now as we go through some of these very important victories the ACLJ had over this year that may have been overlooked because of some of the huge political news that we're also involved in. Directly at the ACLJ. And don't remember, the two most important days for the ACLJ financially are today and tomorrow. If you can donate to the ACLJ, do it today at aclj.org. We need your financial contribution. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org.
back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're going to get to your impeachment calls. If you've got questions about that, how long can Nancy Pelosi hold on to it? What are the ramifications of that? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We are not seeing any budging yet on a date being scheduled for a trial to begin or for the articles of impeachment to be delivered to the Senate, for the House managers to actually be named. Here is Senator Chris Coons. He's a Democrat from Delaware. And I think, again, this speaks to what we all knew. This is not shocking. The House Democrats knew it as well, that if it got to the Senate, they were likely going to lose. But take a listen now that they don't want to lose. So that maybe they don't want it to go to the Senate. Bite 13.
If he is ultimately exonerated in the Senate, if the Senate Republican majority refuses to discipline him through impeachment, he will be unbounded. And I am gravely concerned about what else he might do between now and the 2020 election when there are no restrictions on his behavior.
What restrictions are on his behavior right now through holding an impeachment in your pocket, Than? I mean, that's all Nancy Pelosi's doing. I mean, seriously, like, they're so worried. They're so concerned. Chris Coons knows he's not going to get impeached by the Senate. That's not the punishment the Senate's going to come up with for a phone call with Ukraine and some phony idea of obstruction of Congress, but not the actual criminal statute obstruction of Congress or abuse of power by conducting foreign policy that they don't like. So what do they think they can restrain by Nancy Pelosi holding on to these pieces of paper in her pocket?
Jordan, I don't think they calculated that before they moved forward. I think they made a short-term political calculation, move forward, and then didn't have an exit ramp even when they realized they might need one. I mean, look, this is just a matter of very simple mathematics. You need about 20 Republicans if you get all of the Democrats in the United States Senate, which, by the way, I don't think you would get. I think people like Doug Jones, maybe Joe Manchin, would not go along with this. But if you got all the Democrats, you would still need nearly two dozen Republicans. How many Republicans did they get in a U.S. House of Representatives that should be much easier, district by district, to gain somebody of the opposing party to go along with your impeachment effort? How many, Jordan? The answer is zero.
Right.
So if they got zero in the House, how in the world are you going to get in the neighborhood of 20 in the United States Senate? They have always known this. Jordan, they just don't see a way to wrap this up that does not hurt them come next November. But I would just tell you this, that was by design. This is supposed to have political consequences in either direction, Jordan. The American people are supposed to have the final say, and the Democrat Party is now realizing that.
And Chris Coons forgets, I mean, there's a constitution. It restricts the president's power. It restricts each of the branches' power, kind of lays out what their powers are. We have a separation of powers. Remember, that's one of the articles of impeachment is they don't like in Congress is that the president went to the courts. So that was an impeachable offense. Going to court. But I want to take your phone calls as well on this. Let's go to Raymond in Rhode Island on line three. Raymond, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks for all you do.
Thank you, Raymond.
That's the first thing. There doesn't seem to be a lot of direction given to us by the Constitution for the House or the Senate.
Right.
Some people have expressed, I know Nancy Pelosi has already expressed, her will to publish additional articles of impeachment and give them, include them in her already final package. Couldn't she set up a permanent office of harassment and impeachment against this president? I know some of her people in the House would like that.
You know, it's interesting. I guest hosted Sean Hannity's radio broadcast on Friday. Before the holiday, and I will tell you, we had people on like Louis Gohmert asked that question to Senator Kennedy from Louisiana, this idea of perpetual impeachment. And Louis Gohmert, Congressman Gohmert, former judge, he said, I mean, the idea that there would be this kind of perpetual impeachment is not all, perpetual impeachment is not off the table. In fact, Adam Schiff has talked about it, so it's not just Al Green. I don't know if it would be this impeachment office, Raymond, but this constant harassment, I think, is a better way of putting it, Harry.
I think that is true, and I think the caller is asking an excellent question. I think the Democrats, by and large, are so driven by anti-Trump hatred and hatred of Trump voters that they are willing to do virtually anything to impair and hamper President Trump in the execution of his Article II powers. Senator Coons, of course, represents the Democrats' willingness to misunderstand willingly the Constitution and the constitutional parameters which govern the president. The president does indeed have to comply with certain rules which are set forth in Article II of the Constitution. They are not set forth in the House of Representatives. They are not set forth in the Senate. They are not set forth with respect to Article III judges. So I think it is clear beyond question that impeachment is certainly part of an initiative launched by the Democrats basically to impair and impede the execution of the president's Article II powers. So essentially what the Democrats are trying to do is to shred rather than follow the Constitution. And so I believe that it's very likely that if President Trump is acquitted within 30 to 60 days, the House of Representatives will again launch another investigation which might support impeachment down the road.
Yeah, we talk about this in my book, The Next Red Wave, that the deep state was not done. The far left was not done after the Mueller report. They would keep coming and coming. Now they've come with impeachment, but they don't want to turn it over to the Senate for trial. I mean, as Carolyn on Facebook wrote in, it's a shame that we can't leave this, quote, impeachment business in 2019. I'm ready for it to be over. And I think that sentiment right there, I'll talk about it more if we come back from in for our second half hour with Sam Bennett. That sentiment right there and taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Because you had your Christmas dinners. You're with your families. Are they just sick and tired of the impeachment? I mean, even on both sides of the aisle, don't they just want to get to the election, make their choice, whether it's for President Trump or not? But again, this idea of this impeachment hanging over the country, and obviously it's having no effect on the economy. We've had the biggest spending ever this Christmas, and again, that's good for the country. Not just consumerism is good or bad, but it's good for people's jobs. You know, it's good for people working, and that's a good thing for all Americans. But this idea, again, we're going to take your phone calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. We'll go through more ACLJ victories as well, a victory for a Jewish tenant who was told to take down your mezuzah. I think that has, after we saw this horrendous attack on Hanukkah, this stabbing attack in New York, these kind of incidents, you just don't take lightly, whether they're fueled by anti-Semitism or just a lack of understanding of the law. You've got to protect religious liberty in our nation. It's not just these acts of violence, unfortunately, that are happening in other parts of the world. They're happening here in our churches, at a rabbi's home, celebrating Hanukkah. And we're ready to take that fight, ready to stand for religious liberty, as we have been. Standing, by the way, also against anti-Semitism throughout these years. And the BDS movement, the anti-Semitism in Congress by the so-called squad. We have been not afraid to call that out. Remember, these are the most important 2 days financially of the ACLJ. The matching challenge, financially, whatever you can donate. This is the time to do it, folks. We've got to raise about $1 million in the next 48 hours. Go to aclj.org and donate today. That's aclj.org. We'll be right back, second half hour.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live in our second half hour of the broadcast. We are going to get to more of your calls about this impeachment stalemate. How long can it last? How long could Nancy Pelosi hold on to this to the House? Could they keep adding articles of impeachment? Will there actually be a trial in the U.S. Senate? Again, these are big questions that need to be answered and that are hanging over the American people, especially the American people who care about these issues and those who care about the president and care about our constitutional order and the fact that we're also now in we're about to be in the election year. I mean, we're less than a year away from the general election, but we're about to be in the election year in 2020 in just a couple of days. I also want to talk about some of the great victories of the ACLJ. We're totally live, taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, because these 2 days are the most important days financially for the ACLJ of the entire year. We have to raise, and I'm not just saying through the radio broadcast, through all of our mechanisms and all of our different fundraising apparatuses, about $1 million in the next 48 hours to meet our goal and our budget goal to be prepared to start the new year. And tomorrow we're going to talk about all these battles we've got already lined up in the new year. I mean, think about it. We've already argued at the International Criminal Court on behalf of the U.S. Armed Forces. We have got 3 Supreme Court cases coming up in March defending the President of the United States. We have been battling for the President's policies, and I want to go to Than Bennett on one of the biggest victories in government affairs, and it kind of ties in the importance of how many judicial nominations have gotten through the U.S. Senate. And it goes to the heart of our government affairs work in Washington, D.C. And Than, this is, again, that defunding of Planned Parenthood that President Trump was able to sign into by executive order.
Yeah, Jordan, and I really do think this is maybe the most powerful example of why we operate our advocacy work the way we do, because it touches on sort of all layers of the strategy that we have. As our listeners probably know, there is a program called Title 10, which is a family planning program that Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers have used to get money for decades. They've done that, Jordan, even though the 1970 statute that put it in place specifically said that none of the funds appropriated under that title can be used where abortion is a method of family planning. We have for decades, Jordan, along with our members, advocated that the Department of Health and Human Services enforce that law and stop those dollars from flowing to abortion providers. Finally, Jordan, this administration put out a rule that would do just that after decades of us advocating it. That was step one. So, Jordan, what we did for step two is we filed legal comments in support of that rule, and 175,000 of our members signed those legal comments. Step three was we asked our members to file their own comments. We gave them an online mechanism to do it, as well as some sample language. And Jordan, 13,000 of our members filed their own comments. By the way, that was more than 10% of the total amount of comments that the agency got. Then, Jordan, when that rule was inevitably challenged, once it went final, we defended in court, and about 300,000 of our members signed our legal brief defending the law. Ultimately, Jordan, of course, like all of these things, it ultimately ended up at the Ninth Circuit where we won. And why did we win, Jordan? It's because now there are 13 of the 29 judges have been nominated by Republicans, and 10 of them, Jordan, from this president. So all the way back from decades ago, advocating for enforcement of a statute through the comment period, through the legal brief filing comments, and then defending it in court, as well as the confirmation of judges, Jordan, all of it provided the most significant victory in this area of law that I've seen in my time in D.C.
And Planned Parenthood, finally, some of those federal dollars, just to make it clear, your taxpayer dollars, finally, some of them, not all of them, some of them defunded. Because of the work of the ACLJ, working hand-in-hand with government officials, working with our government affairs staff in Washington, D.C. We have that team. We have that office. We have all of those people in place and that technology to get you to be able to file the comments that Than mentioned because of your financial support to the ACLJ. We can't do any of that without your support. We're a nonprofit organization. If you can donate, these are the two most important days of the year, today and tomorrow. We need to raise about $1 million to be on track. Donate today at ACLJ.org, whatever amount you can, and your donation is matched. We have a matching challenge. ACLJ.org. Let's continue to do this work on a larger scale in 2020.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
So we're doing a couple things on the broadcast today, kind of as the year comes to a close, and we are live on Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. One, these are the two most important financial days of the year for the ACLJ. In the next 48 hours, we need to raise about $1 million for the American Center for Law and Justice. That may sound huge to some of you, but remember, we're talking to millions of people right now on our radio broadcast, and that's just a small group of who supports the ACLJ. We have donors who support by mail, donors who support monthly, donors who make year-end gifts, major donors, small monthly donors. So we have all these different kinds of donors to the ACLJ. One thing I'd like to ask for people to call in about if they feel comfortable, and you just give your name and state. You don't have to give even how much you donate. It's just I'd love to hear from some of our donors about why they donate to the ACLJ, just simply why you support the work of the ACLJ. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you get on the air with those comments, I'll make sure to sign my book, The Next Red Wave, and send that out to you because I'd love to know why you support the work of the ACLJ. Is there an issue or two, or is it all the issues combined? What is it that drives you to make that financial contribution? You know, I know what it is for me for different things that I support. You know, I could usually label what it was about that group or that project or that organization or what my church was doing or my religious institution was doing or former school was doing that I wanted to support financially. And I wonder if you could do the same when you talk about your support for the ACLJ, because I know we have a lot of donors listening. And it doesn't matter if you're a $5 a year donor or a $10,000 a year donor, and somewhere in between. I'd really just like to know what it is that drives you to support the ACLJ. Is it the overall work, or is it something specific? And there's no wrong answer here. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We're also taking these questions about impeachment hanging over the House of Representatives. We've got no indication right now, Than, from Nancy Pelosi that anything is moving towards the trial beginning like next week when it should have.
Yeah, no announcement, Jordan. In fact, the last word we have from leadership came from Leader Hoyer on the floor of the House before they left town that there were going to be no more votes before they came back in January. And, Jordan, there has been no update to that. I think you can sum it up this way, that it's pretty clear that she's trying to have it both ways. She wants to claim the president is impeached, but yet she doesn't want to give the Senate an opportunity to review it. Jordan, I don't know when they will adjust that announcement, that scheduling announcement. They're going to have to make some sort of statement in advance of that week that begins on January 6th. But Jordan, the problem that they're going to have, and we were very straightforward with our listeners when the House had it. We didn't necessarily like the process that was going forward. We thought it was an abusive process, but we acknowledged that the Constitution was very clear that Speaker Pelosi could have that control while it was in her purview. Jordan, now that she claims that the president has been impeached, we need to be equally clear. The Senate, under the Constitution, doesn't share that power with the House. It has the, quote, sole power. So, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer, they can have some control over whether or not they're going to formally send managers, Jordan, but they cannot bind what the Senate is going to do. So that announcement, that's really only a very small part of the equation here.
Go to Alice in Washington State on line one. Alice, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, thanks, Alice.
Hey, I understand that there are three separate branches, but what my question is, with the stalemate that Nancy Pelosi has caused to be happening with the impeachment, is there no way to request at least a ruling on the constitutionality by the Supreme Court of what is happening so that we can put this behind us and move ahead?
You know, I mean, Harry, the Constitution clearly gives the House the sole power to impeach, the Senate the sole power to try impeachments. The Chief Justice does play a role in the Senate trial of impeachments by hearing motions and things like that. But an appeal to the Supreme Court, I mean, I know people are listen, there are lots of options being looked at. I don't want to take anything off the table right now. I also don't want to make any news by saying, oh, yeah, you can absolutely just go to the Supreme Court and they'll enforce it for you. I mean, there are options being looked at. I do want to say that, Alice, that about could you push this along? So far, most of those have been theoretical and have kind of hit some roadblocks. But that work is not done either. But right now, these are the kind of political questions that typically the Supreme Court doesn't want to get involved in.
I think your analysis is spot on, and I think the Supreme Court would be reluctant to basically put its prestige at risk by entering this particular controversy when it believes it's not compelled by the Constitution to do so. Also keep in mind, secondarily, that if indeed there is an impeachment trial, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court would preside. So I think the Supreme Court, other things being equal, will try to defer any litigation and will probably defer issuing an opinion. Having said that, I think it is clear that the president's lawyers can and should look at all legal options with respect to this particular issue.
And Dan, you feel like the Senate doesn't have to treat it as a stalemate and could just decline to take something. It could just say that we're not going to take this up in the first place. Anyways, they could always make that decision if it was handed over to them or not. They could make the declaration now.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with Leader McConnell on this one, Jordan. I don't think describing it as a stalemate is appropriate. I think the ball is entirely in the Senate's court, and I think they can make one of two very legitimate moves. I think they can view the articles as public and passed and take up the trial if they want, either do a trial or have a motion to dismiss, whichever it may do. Or, Jordan, they might say, look, this is not something we wanted in the first place, so if you want to keep it, we're going to keep doing the work of the American people and our business. And by the way, they confirmed 13 judges the week the House passed it. So look, while it's not a stalemate, if they decide not to take it up because they have more important work to do, I think that's a pretty reasonable decision to make.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, again, you see all these different angles. I still would hope that for the American people, if you're going to pass articles of impeachment, there should be at least votes in the Senate on at least whether to have the trial. And then if there is going to be a trial, that parties get heard, because there was no due process for the president in the House. So I think it would be a shame for that to happen. At the end of the day, though, as Stan said, it's not like this is killing the president of the United States and his chances of reelection. It's killing Democrats, and it's killing their chances of beating the president. Let's be honest about that right now. 1-800-684-3110. Some of those donors are calling in. We're going to get you signed copies of my book, The Next Red Wave. Let me go to Fred in Tennessee online, too. Fred, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Fred.
I appreciate all the work you guys are doing. I've been donating for about 3 years now, and I really appreciate the work you do at The Hague to get – I'm former military, and
oh,
I know
service.
It's a big deal. And the work you're doing against Planned Parenthood and the work you do for the president, I appreciate everything you guys do, and just keep up the good work.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, Fred. I thank you for your service. You know, one of those cases earlier this year, the ACLJ, talking about our pro-life work, Fred, ACLJ secured a major victory in the fight to protect free speech rights of our pro-life clients and many others. It was a case out of Iowa where there was a state statute that, again, kind of criminalized their speech in Iowa, and we challenged the statute. And we're able to have the entire statute declared unconstitutional, not as applied to our clients, but the entire statute is written unconstitutionally vague. So that statute that was, again, leading to criminal charges for our pro-life clients in Iowa, we led the charge there, a team of attorneys out in Iowa, and the Iowa courts ultimately declared the statute unconstitutional. So there's, again, a victory for pro-life speech. I always think you've got pro-life speech, you've got the pro-life issue of abortion itself, you've got pro-life issue of like the funding issue. You've got those kind of three different areas that we battle in all of the time at the American Center for Law and Justice. That was one example of those victories. We're going to take more of your phone calls when we come back, and I see Peggy and Maria Dawn's comment coming on Facebook. Of folks who do donate to the ACLJ who are sharing with you, our radio audience, why they donate. And I asked today because today and tomorrow, today and then the final day of the year, tomorrow, are the two most important days for the ACLJ financially. They set the tone for how we end the year and how we start the year with the work that we have. Tomorrow, we've been looking back on ACLJ victories so far on this show. Tomorrow, we're going to be looking forward at the work the ACLJ has already got on its plate. We've talked about some of that already, but even more than we got to already today on the broadcast. This is the critical time. As I said, in these next 48 hours, or less now, we've got to raise about $1 million to be on track so that we start the year the way we want to start the year, which means doing more of this work, having more resources, having more attorneys ready to go, more government affairs staff ready to go, more battles that can be fought. You donate to the ACLJ at whatever amount you can. If you're financially able to right now, this is a great time to do it because we have a matching challenge. Your donation effectively doubled. There's a group of donors ready to match every donation that comes through the month of December. Donate today at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org.
This final segment, you know, in these last couple of days of the year, I asked just, you know, pretty late in the show to hear from donors. And I didn't know how many would call in or if many would want to call in to share why they donate to the ACLJ, but literally the phone lines are full. And this is our final segment. These are our two most important days of the year financially for the ACLJ. We need to raise about $1 million. It sounds, I know, like a big number, but remember, we are a very large organization. When you've got cases at the International Criminal Court, three cases at the U.S. Supreme Court in March. When you've got cases around the country going on, both criminal cases, civil cases, a government affairs team in Washington, D.C., headquartered right behind the Supreme Court. When you have broadcast studios like this and a radio show like this, when you have the teams like this, you understand the resources it takes to do that. So saying we need to raise $1 million in a couple of days, don't let that shock you or deter you from your support. Because I will tell you, the average donation to the ACLJ is somewhere between $30 and $45. I mean, really, every donation counts, especially in a matching challenge month when whatever you donate is matched by a group of donors who say, hey, if they donate that $40 at aclj.org right now, I'm going to match that $40. And so every donation matched through the month of December. We've got 2 days left in our most important 2 days financially. Let me go to the phones because people want to tell you why they support the ACLJ financially. Take a listen. Peggy in Michigan on line three. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Peggy.
We do automatic through our credit union, automatic every month of donation, which makes it easier. I don't have to remember. I just does it automatically. But the reason I do is big, like you talked about, pro-life is number one. But then all the other things you guys do. We thank God for you all the time. And
Peggy,
read all the things you send to us.
We thank God for you. And the donors like you. You mentioned a great way of people who are monthly donors who set it up. And people know this now through, like, you can do it through your credit union. You can do it through credit cards. You can do it through our website at aclj.org. When you donate, you can check a box that says make this a monthly contribution, and you don't have to think about it again. You know that you're going to be donating that amount of dollars to the ACLJ each month, and if it comes out and financially you're not able to do that anymore, it's easy to stop that or put a pause to that. But it's a great way to kind of keep your financial support building up over the year. So it may sound like you're initially contributing maybe a smaller number. Maybe it's $25 a month or $50 a month or $100 a month, but you add that up over the year, and you realize you've donated a significant amount to the American Center for Law and Justice. And you can sign up and do that right now through our matching challenge. That won't prevent you from being part of the matching challenge or prevent your donation from being important for this final 2 days of the year at aclj.org. So we appreciate those donors who make that monthly automatic contribution so much, and we thank them. Let's go back to the phones again. Maria in Washington State, thank you for calling in to share your story.
Hi, thank you, Jordan, for taking my call.
Thank you.
I really appreciate all the ACLJ does and your father does around the globe. And, you know, for persecuted Christians and pro-life and our president, there's so much work that you do. So I donated, I know I've donated throughout the year, not very much, but I did donate it in November. And I can't remember what that was, but I did donate $100 this weekend because
thank
I know that
so
was
much.
Doubled by the, you're so welcome. Thank you guys. Because that was doubled, you know, by your other
matching challenge,
your other donor.
Yeah, yes, I mean, Matthew so effectively Fallon. What you donated, Maria, is like $200 for us. And it's a great example of that, Maria. And let me just say, you talk about the persecuted church. There's so many of those cases going on that we aren't even able to discuss. But then there's the big ones. There's the Pastor Brunson's being released. There's the Saeed Abedini's being released. There's the Youssef Nadarkhani's. There's the Miriam Ibrahim's. There are the big, you know, the big cases that do get the international attention. But there's also the Pakistani family that I talked about, who was in forced labor because they were Christians by a Muslim landowner that we were able to set free in Pakistan, literally set them free from involuntary servitude, also known as slavery, because of their religious faith. So again, Maria, I appreciate you so much, your support in November and your support this weekend. It is so important. And again, we got a lot of calls coming in. I want to try to take them all. Let's go to Lori in California, line 6. Lori, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Jan on line 6. Hey, Jan.
Hi. I listened to you on Sirius XM and on the radio at home, and then also on Facebook. And I've been a donor for quite a few years now, and I just love the work that you're doing, especially all that's already been mentioned, really, with the persecuted Christians, with abortion in the United States, what you're doing in the school system, and, of course, for Donald Trump with our president and the prayers that go up for the Jews. I'm just so grateful for all the work you do. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the work, too, combating anti-Semitism, combating boycott, divestment, and sanctions, supporting Israel here in the United States, but also abroad. And standing up for the state of Israel. And you know, these are very real issues right now. Let me go to Carolyn in Texas online, too. She got a personal story, actually, about why she supports the ACLJ. Carolyn, thanks for being on the air and sharing your story.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you for taking my call. Okay, so my story goes back to 1992.
Yeah.
I was 15. I came to Christ through a high school Bible study that got into administrative trouble with the school where they threatened to suspend us over the Bible study.
Of course.
We got help from what was then CASE, Christian
right.
Advocates Serving Evangelism,
right.
And a little book that was called From Intimidation to Victory.
Yep.
Which it is a million years old. Okay, so that's, but anyway, no, since then I'm a veteran. I served with the U.S. Navy.
Thank you so much.
So yeah, I have good reason to support the ACLJ, both over the religious liberties issue.
Unbelievable, really, to hear. You know, I'm going to make sure my dad hears this, Carolyn, too, because, you know, the Mergens case, the Bible Club cases, which then settled a whole host of these cases across the country, Carolyn, for people like you who, again, you came to Christ through those Bible studies. So I want to make sure my dad hears that, because those cases from the early 1990s, that he argued at the Supreme Court weren't just constitutional law, religious liberty victories. They are victories for people's faith. You know, they were faith victories, too. So, Carolyn, I really appreciate you sharing that story of not just why you support the ACLJ, but how it actually impacted you. Let me see if I can get to Lori quickly and Gray. Lori, quickly, we've only got about a minute left on the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. It's just such a blessing to be speaking to you.
Thanks,
I love fan. I love your dad. I love hearing about the president. I live in California. It's a very depressed
sure.
state.
It looks like we dropped you a little bit there, Lori. But I appreciate your support for the ACLJ. Let me go to Gray. And I'm sorry that we lost you, Lori. Gray in North Carolina, final call of the day. Gray, thanks for calling in.
Real quick, your diversity and the talented people that you have doing it all.
You know,
and I'm a vet, too, so I thank your dad for the Hague.
I love the support that we're getting and hearing from our veterans in our country. We appreciate your service so much to all the veterans out there. And I will underscore that diversity of talent that we have is very real, and it's something we've been building on for years, for decades. We've made great strides in, even in the last, I'd say, 5-6 years, because of your financial support. Most important 2 days of the year for the ACLJ financially. Donate today at aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life online at aclj.org.